Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
All right. It's 5 minutes after 9 o'clock. Tabi Singh is here in the flesh. And I promise you, we're not going to depress... I don't know if we won't depress you, but we'll try not to depress you. The stories are depressing, but we'll try not to depress you with one more week to go,
yes.
Right? We are counting down to our last show with you in Tabi Singh. So, you said your last day in court is tomorrow?
It's tomorrow. Mm. I have an unopposed customary divorce, yes. So, a couple is divorcing tomorrow. Settlement agreement signed. That's that. Unregistered. Like I always say, it's irrelevant whether the marriage was registered or not.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So, Oksalai.
Oksalai.
The court thinks they were married.
Correct.
The law thinks
they
were
married. The law, yes. So now they're getting divorced tomorrow. So last order, people going home happy, I suppose.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Okay. So you've got interesting cases.
Yes. So, you know how we're always talking about get your affairs in order while you're still alive.
Yes.
Get your wills in order. Get everything in order.
Yes.
So, in this particular case, it was settled in the Limpopo High Court. Excuse me. And the deceased was married previously.
Mm.
And when he died, during that particular marriage, the divorce happened. In that divorce, the ex-wife, who also is now late, but the ex-wife at the time was paying for the property, the bond for the house, everything, even though she was not residing in the house.
What? Okay, was it in her name?
It was in both their names as a result of the marriage regime.
So she, did they have a financial arrangement? In other words, everybody pays their bit.
From what I can understand, there was a settlement agreement of sorts wherein she continues to pay for the property.
You're Nayu.
But yeah, she wasn't living in the property.
Yes, I understand.
So this went on for years and years and years and years, and she was able to finalize everything and the property was
she
done.
She just kept paying.
She kept paying. And when the divorce, everything that was supposed to be dealt with in terms of the settlement agreement, the property was eventually supposed to be transferred into her name.
Oh, I see. Yes. I get you. Yes.
Yes. Per the settlement agreement. So now,
that's hence she continued to pay.
Yes.
She knew that she was going to be transferred into her name.
Yes.
Okay.
So she died before
that
the
happened.
Property can be transferred into her name.
Okay.
But it was known. It was on paper. It was a legal document that said the property is going to be transferred in her name. So now she dies. Husband remarries. The divorce has been granted many years ago. So now he remarries. And when he remarries, they continue to live in this particular property with his new wife. Now he dies. So when he dies, the woman goes and registers letters of executorship and whatnot and wants to claim the property for herself.
Haibu.
So she's claiming that, no, well, the kids are now adults. They're like, no, this house is mine and my husband's. It forms part of our
estate.
Yeah. Mm. And therefore, I am entitled to get this property and I should live in it. So now the children have to go and dig up old paperwork, the divorce decree, the settlement agreement, all of those things, only to find out the process in the deeds office had started but never got finalized. So now they bring all of this to the forefront and bring it to the court and say, this woman is trying to deprive our estate because our parents left this for us, particularly our mother, because she had full rights and ownership over this property. The only thing is that it never got transferred out of dad's name into her name in its entirety. So now on paper, it looks like it's shared between the parties, whereas there's a court order that says it belongs only to our mother. So now this woman is saying, well, that's not my problem. The fact of the matter is that I lived in this property for X amount of years with my husband and we're married in community of property. Kiak. So it was a very, very long protected case. And finally, the court said, well, ma'am, you may have lived in the house for however long you want, and you may have been married to this person in community of property, but we are going per the court order that predates your marriage. This property is not yours. Kindly vacate the premises. And then the children were awarded the house.
Mm. So such an interesting case because of what we've discussed before. You know, if you've been living in a property for a long time, people have always used that. If you've been living in a property for X amount of years or however long, the person who owns it, who didn't vacate you, is the person who would be responsible to find your alternative accommodation. But this is interesting because there was a court order.
Yes.
And the delay at the deeds office was not the children's or the late lady's fault.
Yes.
She had done the necessary, you know, she had taken the steps to make sure that things are done properly, and that didn't happen. And so
that's where it is. So now it brings to the forefront that sometimes we are also kind of complacent in not dealing with these
I keep
offices.
Saying this. Finish your business.
Yes.
Like, clean up your stuff.
Mm.
Don't sit there and leave your children to deal with your mess.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do, you know. Ah, you don't do the work.
Yes.
You don't do the work. And you expect your children to be the ones fighting your battles when you are no longer here.
Mm. Which is exactly what happened here. Because
as Morupukela.
Did not see that one coming.
You know, people must learn.
Yes.
Sort out your business.
Sort it out. Finalize everything.
Please. No, serious. You hear people.
Which is where the problem is. And you see, had it been immediately after the divorce, there was a consistent follow-up to deeds office, she would have died this property in her name, and then the kids wouldn't have gone through 8 years, I think it was, of court process after her death. In fact, after both
and
of their deaths.
And actually, the problem is this man.
For not moving out.
Yes.
Remarrying.
So this poor woman is waiting for the legalities to happen.
Mm.
But in actual fact, this man was supposed to have left, man.
Yes.
Because he went on and got married again.
Yes.
What was he still doing in that property?
And the kids are growing. The kids are grown, they've got their own property, so they don't need this house. I can continue staying here. That I assume would have been the thinking behind dad continuing to stay in the property. But it's so necessary for us to please
tidy your things,
wind
up
everything before you
tidy
die.
Tidy your thing, and that means even your children. Babostrating, tidy your people
exactly.
up. It may be embarrassing. It may be a problem, but you know, because these things come back to bite those who you think are not going to have a problem when you're gone.
Mm.
So you have these so-called legitimate children. Kantunalabai 10 outside.
Mm.
And then poor children are going to have to deal with the mess you left behind, because even the 10 have rights.
Have a claim. Yes.
They have rights.
Yes.
You know?
So if you don't do the right thing, that's where problems start. Because what we do, what we encounter, I mean to say, is that Ntabi Seng would have gone to register the late estate with the master, thinking it's just her and maybe her three siblings. That
this is the thing.
Of.
I get it. We know the ones. Bakutu.
Hey. Exactly. And then how is it registered? Now they're like, no, wait, before you finalize. Now they all come out, all 10 of them. They
hey.
Want to be recognized, which they have a right to
hey.
Be.
And you lied to your wife and the other children, the
yes.
other three.
Yes. And Okatolore.
Mare, sometimes.
I was going to go to that.
You know? He why is a maintenance?
That's where the
Wachaka.
Problem is.
Wachaka. Bamutwaeti. Papa.
And that's where the danger is.
And they are used to this man. When he dies now, every other people are surprised that Papa Nansa every day.
Exactly. And in terms of Section 37, I think capital letter A, I could be mistaken, the Pension Funds Act. even though you would have named Ntabiseng Modibedi le Phemelo as your beneficiaries, as your children and whatnot, right? The pension fund has an obligation to look further into your bank statements. So if they can go into the deceased's bank statement and see
school fees,
exactly, then they go and find those 10 kids or their parents, their mothers, I beg your pardon, and say, we see that you were getting paid X amount, X amount, X amount. There is a million that is left. Ntabiseng, as the wife, will get this much. Phemelo, as the children, will get this much. And then the rest will be divided between the others. Now the lump sum, 1 million, gone.
Okay.
So let's just do the right thing.
You know what we need to do? Because we've got a call coming. Can we take a quick break so that we have time to respond to the question? Let's take a quick break. When we come back, the lines are open. 086-000-0959. You can also send voice notes on 063-688-0959. All right. So let's take a call. 086-000-0959. Jimmy is in the Vaal with a question. Good evening and welcome, Jimmy.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very, very much.
Yeah, not so well, I'm sad.
Okay, sorry, Papa.
I've got a question. I've got a problem with VW.
With who?
VW Finance SA.
VW Finance. In fact, there was a big international story around VW Finance, but let's go ahead.
Yes. It's been 5 years, man. With the car. So the car is about to be paid up. You let something like 30-something thousand. So I phoned them, I'm asking for a, what do you call this?
Settlement.
A settlement, yes. So they are telling me that, no, I have to give them 3 months notice for a settlement. And if I decide to pay it now, they are going to charge me something like 1,000 rent or 1,005 extra. Is that legal?
Yeah, no, it's standard, unfortunately.
Explain that.
So
That's the first time I heard that.
So I also just recently went through something that you're, the same thing that you're going through. It's not even VW Finance, it's for another vehicle. But if you settle the amount early,
there's a penalty.
There's a penalty that goes
in fact,
with
it's even with cell phone companies,
everything.
It's a gym contract.
No, but I have been doing that with cell phone companies. Even now, I did that with my credit card. They just gave me the settlement. There was no extra penalty.
Yeah, Njime. But I get up on it as a legal advisor.
No, but how do you punish a compliant customer?
We agree with you there, Njime. We agree with you there.
But that's oppressive.
I get to ask me how you
But both national consumer, what?
No, that's what they're going to tell you. Okay, Jimmy, listen, we understand the frustration. But at the end of the day, we are saving you time to go hear the same thing. Here's the bottom line. You sign a contract that states contract ena kya 24 months.
Yes.
Right? That's what it is. In their calculation of their company financials, they add that in the profit. When you check out early, it affects their bottom line, right? That's why they're allowed to do that. And so there is a penalty for that. Unfortunately, it doesn't sound nice, nor does it sound fair, but actually that's a fact.
Yeah.
So there are many, many cases like yours. What sometimes people do is that they will pay and leave a little bit of an amount. Account is kakwalwa, you know what I mean? Like pay as much as you can, but leave a little bit in there so that you don't pay the penalty. But actually, for those who didn't charge you, you are lucky. What is a fact is that they are allowed to charge you a penalty fee for checking out on them because they, let's call it, did you a favor by advancing you money that would have been sitting somewhere else that would have earned them interest because they gave it to you. So you are taking away income that they would have earned because if you had stayed with them for 24 months or whatever, they would have earned from you that interest. Does it make sense?
Did you by any chance have balloon payments?
I happy. I hate
No, nobody.
Okay, then it's fine. No, but unfortunately, that's the way it is. You are ending it. I think that 30,000 deciding, for example, you're going to be dividing it. Let's say, for argument's sake, you're paying 5,000 rand per month, right? So now you're checking out how many months early? What, about 5 months early? Yeah.
5 months
early. Yes.
About 5 months, 6 months left.
Yeah. Wow, bon. So now with that, and a penalty clause setting is only, it's only 1,000. Only.
So, unfortunately, if I want to see myself and be concentrated.
Askisi.
I thought I'm going to hear something different. But thanks anyway.
All right.
Askisi, man. Hey, why is it going? Walwan. But just explain the principle, Ntabi Seng, again, because so this is how banks make money.
Yeah.
Banks bank on the fact that money earns the money because they're in the business of money. They are not in the business of cars.
Yes.
Banks are in the business of money. When they give you money, it's money they could have given to someone else or money that would have earned them interest. When you come out of that agreement, you are messing with that interest and earning capital that they would have earned on your capital.
Mm.
So they must charge you.
Yeah. It is the contract that is... That's why you need to read the T's and C's properly. So that when this time comes, you know you're not having any complaints. So what would usually happen is that once you're getting close to... It actually, let me put it this way. Sometimes it happens when you pay a little bit more than your normal installment because you're also messing with their interest. So when they do penalize you for ending the contract early, they take into consideration the extra amount that is already in the account and it brings down the penalty. So if your repayment was 5,000 rand on the dot and you are paying back 5,500 rand, that 500 keeps accumulating and itself gets interest. So by the time your car is now due to be paid completely, they take that extra amount into consideration to reduce whatever balance is there. So when you ask for your settlement agreement, they factor in that extra amount and then it also brings down the penalty. Unfortunately, it's part and parcel of the contract. Yeah, no, because it's not like it's a loan, but it's not a loan, if that makes any sense. You are using the money to purchase an item from them. And yet the same money is the same money that they're loaning you in. So it's like a double contract in one. Unlike a situation where he was mentioning the credit card. Mm. The credit card is just a loan. So once you're repaying it, that's that life goes on. They're not going to penalize you for anything. There's no contract saying that you are supposed to pay the amount by a certain time. It's just a credit card. You got it. You repaid it. You're closing it. That's it. So, yeah.
He's not happy. But it's, yeah, it's unfortunate. In fact, what will happen, Wenancher, is that if you were to pay your credit card sooner, they will recognize that.
Yes.
And in fact, your credit score will go up and all those wonderful things.
Mm.
I say pay, but leave Nyana 200, whatever, on that account. And then just wait.
Yes, wait it out.
Wait for 5 months.
Yeah.
Oh, you better now. What am I going to be so lying?
Nah. Really, it's just 1,000 rand.
And also, that you've paid forward, also, Nchera, I mean, we're not going to pick you up again. But actually, there is a benefit.
Mm.
Even if you leave 200 rand, your credit score will go up.
Yeah.
They will recognize that you're a good customer, you pay ahead, and. Just don't pay it all and close it off. Hmm. He's unhappy.
No, he's not very happy at all.
Okay. I think you've given us some homework, ne?
Mm-hmm.
Misinterpretation and what? What is this? Okay. You're going to have to do the legal work here. Misrepresentation and prohibited conduct.
Yes.
This has got to do with the tribunal against Hyundai.
BMW, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So, in this particular case, Ntabi Seng went to go buy herself a nice car, and then the specs that were advertised about the car are not the specs that she got out of the car. So, she goes back to BMW and says, no, the model from Mzansi says 1, 2, 3, 4. The one that I got is this. And then manufacturer, the dealership is like, yeah, okay, we see it.
What's the problem?
You know, you're not suffering any prejudice.
Just take the car, man.
Move on with your life.
Sold the car.
You see. And then he's like, no, you cannot advertise A and then give me D and nothing near A. So I want what you advertised for the amount that I paid. In fact, I want you to swap it out.
Was it a big difference?
It was. There were certain specs that were in this particular BMW. Very nice things. They mentioned, I don't know what those things are. And then this one is a standard model.
Mm.
So that was where the issue was. And then when they were now at loggerheads, that's when the Thabi Singh now takes the matter to the tribunal to say, not only do I want an upgrade, I want... the way it was advertised, and failing which, give me my money back.
Mm.
And then the matter was heard before the tribunal, and BMW says, but you didn't suffer any prejudice because you didn't pay any more or any less.
Mm.
The car is still a BMW. The only difference is like one or two things, according to us. And he's saying, no.
But those one or two things... Mm.
And then the tribunal looked at it and said, okay, based on... what you advertised and what you sold, this client is correct.
He's right.
You cannot advertise something and then sell us something
else. Give us
else.
Something else.
You know? Yes, the client may be overreaching by saying, I want to swap it out and what is this? Reimbursed and be given a better model. That's what he had said. So the only stance that he has is that, yes, he's correct. You gave him something that he didn't buy.
Mm.
So you must give him.
What he bought.
So if the spec is it's black with white lining, give him black and white lining. You cannot give him something else.
Different.
Yes, and this is what the tribunal relied upon. Section 29 of the Consumer Protection Act, Section 29A, 29B, 421(1), and 421(1A), 421(1C). Wherein it prohibits suppliers from marketing goods in a misleading manner.
Yeah.
The tribunal found that Hyundai failed to correct the mis... because the BMW was sold in a Hyundai shop.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Got you.
Hyundai failed to correct the misapprehension that the vehicle was a Mzansi edition.
Mm.
And then the lesson that was brought forth was that suppliers must verify product specifications and ensure transparent communication with consumers. So it is people have bonuses.
Yeah.
So people are going out to buy
cars.
Yes. Mm. And while you were buying cars, or even anything really, your big screen TV, whatever it is that you're buying.
Check
that what has been advertised
is what you're getting.
Mm. Because you are covered. You have a right to get exactly what it is that you went in there to buy.
Dumi is calling from Joburg. Dumi, hi.
Hi, Pumela. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fine, thank you. You know, you guys are talking about, properties and all. So I have a burning question to ask Ntabi Singh.
Yes, ma'am.
Ntabi Singh, my brother bought property, but, you know, for him to actually to be able to get that property, I had to help him. So the property was registered in both our names.
Okay.
So over a year ago, my brother died.
Ooh.
And according to, after I've done everything, because I was appointed the executor of his estate.
Yes.
And then we did the LND.
Mm.
So according to the LND and his will, of course, I was supposed to get the other 50%.
Yes.
To make the property 100% mine.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately... me and this guy have been, been at loggerheads, and it's over a year now, and the LND hasn't been submitted for me to be able to, be released or get all that paperwork so that I can be able to register the property.
Okay.
So I want to know if I can actually submit the LND myself so that I can be able to finish this whole process. Because it's been standing now still for over a year, and we have done everything, and we have done the LND as well.
So the downside of matters wherein the proper deceased estate is over 250,000, they require attorneys to be involved in the matter, who are going to act as your agent in that situation. But if the LND has been finalized, right, and you have the final copy, I don't see why you can't just send it to the master for it to lay there for inspection, so that the master can tell whether or not there's issues that they have concerns with regard to the LND. But if the master analyzed the concerns with regard to the LND, they're going to communicate to the lawyer, not to you. So that's where the problem is going to be, really. So I would rather, I would suggest that while you are probably putting the LND in the master's office for inspection, get another lawyer. Terminate mandate this out and let this new lawyer be the one who will be communicating with the master's office. And so that if the master has any query on the LND, then they can address it. Because remember, your LND has to mirror in one form or another the inventory that was that started the matter. So if there's a huge discrepancy, they're going to want an explanation with regard to that. And also the transfer of the property, the 50% of the property into your name, has to be dealt with before the master can close off the file. So you need to make sure you need a conveyancer who can assist with all of that, especially if the estate has liquid capital, so that they can be paid all of these things when they are transferring.
Yeah.
Can I ask, Dumi, what? Why are you guys at loggerheads? Is it a?
No, I've been waiting for him, and I've been going. Behind him, and he says that he's busy. And to be honest with you, I'm really frustrated because, the first story that you guys were talking about now, my fears are that if something happens and I have not concluded this, then what's going to happen?
I understand.
Because my siblings are much younger than me. There's quite a lot. There's a lot of things that I need to just put to bed. And this is one of the things that really worry me.
No, I would suggest please get another attorney then if you feel like things are not moving swiftly. Because at minimum, it sounds like the estate is not even that big. In other words, not a lot to deal with. A year ought to have been enough for the estate to be finalized.
Yeah.
So, if you're still at the LND stage, there's still a lot of things that need to happen. Payment of creditors, payment of all of these things.
That has been done. It's just only this to be submitted to the master's.
Okay.
Submit
it, and then in the process, terminate mandate if you're not happy with this attorney, so that any queries the master has can send it to your new attorney, because any queries that will arise are automatically going to go to the attorney.
To the same one.
Mm. Yeah.
Sorry, man.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Alrighty.
All right. I think we've got Ntate Selby on the line. Ntate Selby.
Hi, Pamela and Tavi Seng. How are you there?
Good. How are you, Ntate Selby?
I'm blessed beyond measure, Tavi Seng.
Amen.
Amen. Pamelo, aren't you pila?
No. Ario mo. Mare uibo ni video. Kawara.
Ni geta bila rangere kumi siete.
Uibo ni video. And that this will be arsa din sa di pira mare. Tabi sa mo uibo ni
video. Hello, what's the question?
Hey, aski un kreile that is one tall. And who wants to get another deserve? Who wants to get another deserve? Aski easy man, Mari. Hey, it was nice, eh? It was nice that deserve. No, no, Munad, one in Mangmul.
They make the loop for my.
Oh, okay. And then, did we treat you well at the Kaya party?
No. No, they did treat me well.
Okay,
good. Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Not good. Agre
nerilum sevetin was carfounela or no libati. We know this about you. We know. Renaremo, when I'm no libati, it's okay that this.
No. nna be ke le sure gore wena ba o founele ne ke re ba o rometse email
andbanje
di itse gore ba o rometse le message
jela
a video.
Yeah, no, video yana ba ntumetse. No, ba re ke yo ntate sel video na le mo mosebetsi. Hey. Ntate sel, do you have a question?
Yeah. Kasi hona le brwaka chomi a ene ba tla tshelete ya yao aga di tsa RDP a thotse tender.
Okay.
A mokadima 200,000 rand. Motona aso tsweti mosebetsi aba gona o mopatala ba bile bankile tender eo ba ifile o mongwe then a gona patala brwaka ene brwaka mo adimile tse ka tjomi a gona mo ba signileng teng brwaka ga re mna ke batla tsheleta ka rno ke rekisa flat 2 million wena mphe 1.8 and then I took a flat ya motho are e ba sa reki flat a ona chelete kretsona ya no ba tlo tswa ke eng ntwa ka yetsang because ana matla o mtswarisa because abana a ona a written agreement ore e ke o fa bokana
manga kire chelete ha ya tsaya ya ka cash a kire
transferile
so ona le proof. That's enough,
enough
proof.
So, it's a liquid document, that EFT. No, right? So, hands are communicated, and hands are moved, one call or take a pump, but has a fella has on a delivery, it's via telephone. I care, it's Ninniki, the SMS, the WhatsApp, all of those things. I care.
Yeah, you know that. So, two go fair.
Ah,
yeah, then it's okay.
So, get 200,000. He can still take it to match court. Match court, the regional court can hear up till Boma 300,000. So, ask a Nama to high court if it's too expensive for no reason. So, how I approach somebody that I'm assist or I'm drafted someone laying at the water chalet high back. And if as I responded, this person have won 200,000, if as I responded to the summons and all of those things, the court ignites and what we call a default judgment, and then who attached the property so that the 200,000 can be paid back.
I don't think because
then in that case he high be in a form of a court document so that ilhaka tsuwa kausani asa jirimu buka peta then you can use the court order to claim against deceased estate dear motio but haika le court as soon as possible.
Okay.
Thank you Ntate Selby. Thank you.
Thank you Pavel. Thank you Ntate Selby.
Let's take a quick break and we've got a call coming through but we'll take more of your calls as well on 086 000 00959. All right, let's take your calls. 086 000 00959. Any legal question, and Tabiseng Dubazana is here to take those questions and hopefully come with a legal response that will satisfy everybody. Katleho is in Tembisa. Katleho, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamelo and Sister Tabiseng.
Good evening.
Yeah, I've been telling Nami Ash, we have a problem, Lana Engine, in the property. Rusuthi umkhulu nogogo bashada and then baba nabantwana bayi 2 umamkhulu wami nomamami. So manje umkhulu nogogo bahlukana ugogo nomkhulu boyi 2 okay bashada differently.
Okay.
But in that property bekhala abomama boyi 2 umamkhulu nomamami.
Okay.
So manje ugogo nomkhulu bona njengoba bashadile boyi 2 bashona manje umfazi kamkhulu she wants to sell the property le ugogo nomkhulu kade bashadile kuyo bathola kule abantwana
so manje ngifuna nje
yes
okay
so manje bengifuna ukubuzisa ukuthi singamstopa kanjani mhlawumbe ukuthi angayithengisi the property ngoba the property maba saphila the only thing ukuthi ayikho it's ama document bashilo ukuthi yakamamkhulu nomama bona bebazishelela separate in separate places
You see, that's
the only
where the
way
problem
is that
is.
Nina, you must buy the portion yaga
mkulu.
Yaga mkulu nimnigi mali u lokoko mu.
But also, a question yam for the original mkulu no koko. Mm. When they separated, was it a divorce, or they just aruha ninji?
Yeah, it was a divorce.
So, what does the decree of divorce say?
Here's the thing. Hey, we can't get the decree. I don't know where to get the decree also.
Usually, you could find it in the records, the court, and I know it's probably well over 15 years or whatever since the divorce. Ne? But
yeah.
If you have the names of Kokolimkulu, you can go to the court when perhaps you have an idea. They could have conducted the divorce lana. They could try and find those records. But that divorce decree, it's a dictator what we are supposed to do got this property right now. Because if the divorce decree, the property must be divided equally between Kokolimkulu, then the title deed should have been dealt with in that manner. So that's where it's exactly like the case we were talking about earlier.
But let me ask you another question. Did Umkulu no Koko, you guys, did you round up their estates?
When they died?
No. Mm-hmm. That's why I said they divorced.
Yeah.
Then they both got married.
Yeah, which is fine. But maybe Shona, did you guys round up the estates?
Yeah, I think ngoba sele baba nabanye abantwana. I think ba abo mamncane bana, I think basale ba bayenza ama estate wakagogo, abanye bayenza ama estate wakamkhulu.
Then lapho ke it would have been resolved.
Yes.
Because ugogo lomunye can't just dubatubeni decide ukuthi I want to sell. In the estate there, it should state what she is or she is not entitled to.
Especially if that house, kamga the divorce, was not 100% yakamkulu anymore. We're told. So if Mkulu, by virtue of the divorce, let's say he lost that property, but he ended up living there for whatever reason, it's not his property.
Yeah.
In other words, it's not property at this current Mkulu. So divorce decree and the winding up of the estate, the original Mkulu and original Koko, that is what you need so that it can tell you what to do at this current situation.
And you must still round up their estate.
Yes.
Before Lona at Leima.
Anything.
You may round up the estate and she has nothing.
Exactly.
So she mustn't assume Uti, if the house is going to go on sale, she will have money coming to her.
Mm-hmm.
She may have nothing coming to her. So Uti niena, we are taking isa.
This property is a coming large.
Aye.
Njan.
So I got keep a pep. Unnigila ma pep.
Hey, no. We are halang ma pep. Ngoba
nathi. Go to the deeds office.
No, go to the deeds office.
Go to the deeds office. You don't need
the
her.
The deeds office will tell you Guti, who's the current owner, and the deeds office will also tell you if there was transfer of ownership and when it was done and whether it aligns with the divorce. All of those things will be given to you. You don't need her.
Yeah, just go to the deeds office. You'll get your answers.
Yeah, you don't need her. Just go to the office when I give you address, the details of Mkulu.
Mm.
They will tell you, no, actually Mkulu gave or doesn't own the house anymore. Whatever the story is, they'll tell you the story of that property.
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, Putuam. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's rough.
Le batho ba kholo ka ntse ba sile. Hey, madod. Hey. Okay, let's take a little... Ntabi saying, let's take a listen to a voice note.
Hi, Pimelo and Ntabi. I have a question. Let me give you my situation first. So I separated with my husband in 2021. Our divorce was finalized 2023, April. We are supposed to divide assets and liabilities. I took the kids. All the five kids are with me. But we are somewhat co-parenting. So my question is, the division of assets, there's a house that I paid the home loan for 8 years and Yena has been paying it he continued on the home loan 3 years ago. So this is his third year paying off the home loan. The division of assets didn't happen. The house was not sold because I ended up being threatened. So I chose life instead of fighting over the assets. So what I did on my side, I registered a trust fund where my kids are beneficiaries. And on my will, I allocated the 50% that we are supposed to share to the trust fund, that in case anything happens to me, that 50% of assets will be for my kids. So what I'm wondering is, will that be able to happen if the guy decides to get married to another woman and they stay in the same house and they have more children? Will my 50% still be allocated to the trust fund to only benefit my kids? What will happen?
Yeah, I don't understand how the trust deed was registered with a non-existent amount of money or non-existent immovable property. That doesn't make sense to me. Because in order for that to be accepted by the master, it should be something that exists or that is tangible. So your 50% doesn't exist at this moment because the property was never sold. So you said you chose life because you were threatened, but by doing what you have done, you're not guaranteeing that your children are going to have access to that property, so, or the funds that are coming from that property. So I think you should revisit the idea of enforcing the court order, because what he's doing is a contempt of court. So make an application, see an attorney, make an enforcement order wherein he's forced to adhere to the court order, and then failure to do so, he can be held in contempt of court. Because otherwise, I don't see how your 50% can be guaranteed to go into the trust.
She's gone, unfortunately.
It was a voice note.
Oh, it was a voice note. So it would be nice if you were able to engage, so that she's clear on some of the details.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure how, the person that helped her with the trust, what the thinking was.
Yeah, I think that they probably didn't peruse the trust deeds, how the assets are going to be allocated to the trust and all of that. Because if it's something that is not tangible, how do you then, because even if you're going to just put in money into that, they want proof of funds.
Okay. If you can, maybe call back. Otherwise, we can maybe clarify that next week.
Yes.
Sifiso is in the Vaal. Sifiso, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. Thanks for calling, Sifiso.
Okay, welcome. Just want to find out something. There's a family that I'm trying to help, and the issue is that their son is so.
Sure. So you know your line is not good, ne, my brother. Are you able to shift around a little bit?
Okay. Let me. How about?
Much better. Yeah, please repeat
at
that.
Because I'm driving.
Yes. Okay. You say you're helping a family.
Yes. The problem that they have now is that the lady who's girlfriend to it.
Yes.
She has been nominated when they banked that or the insurance of the deceased.
Oh, wait. Hold on a second. The girlfriend has been nominated as executor or
nominated as
the beneficiary?
As one of the beneficiaries.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah. So what the family is saying now is that their son was not married to the lady.
Mm-hmm.
However, they do recognize that the lady has a daughter with that particular girlfriend.
Yeah.
So they want to query how did the girlfriend come about to be a beneficiary.
Oh.
What they say is that their son was disclosing everything to them.
The son was what, sorry?
Disclosing whatever details to them.
Oh.
As to how, his estate needs to be shared. So the mother received the representation, the two kids received the representation. And that lady as well, who is a girlfriend, a baby mother, to their son, to their daughter, to their son, So it's also been allocated something.
Mm.
So they need a crew to see if indeed there is a foul play in this lady being given something. But they think they don't believe that that lady is working for a lawyer. That's their argument. She might have done something.
When I so how did you advise these people?
I told them that if the lady has been nominated by their son, or the son has allocated the lady something, there's nothing legal that they can do about that, because it will be his wish to see the baby mama benefiting from whatever that he might have left. But they say that they are not sure if their son has given that lady something, because he was not married. There's a whole lot of family issues.
Yeah.
He was not married to the lady.
Yeah.
So they just need to see the proof that she was indeed allocated something.
How? I get a proof is there in the beneficiary allocation and nomination.
Yeah.
What do they deem to be enough proof from what they're telling you?
Company tailoring is already insurance. Mom, the guy and I said, company insurance. I want to prove what I want to do is something. That lady
to
do with the decision, Yahore, which later. Her influence decision or insurance, whatsoever.
No. So, even if, let's say for argument's sake, she wasn't a beneficiary, ne? At all in the papers. I mentioned this earlier in the show, Section 37, capital letter A of the Pension Funds Act. If there are certain nominated people in the pension funds, the pension fund holder has an obligation to go into this person's financial records to see who else, apart from the dominated people, were being supported or maintained by this individual. So if he was sending 10,000 rand per month to baby mama, whether it was for the benefit of the child or whatever, it is in his banking records. So as a result, it shows that she was a dependent in one form or another. This man, and therefore the insurance company or the pension fund company has the obligation to ensure that this person gets money out of this pension fund. So no matter what, even if they find her here, maybe there was fraud, the paperwork, this guy's account will not lie.
And what the other thing hearing out of this, this guy said a baby actually has two kids with two different ladies. One, the one accused of receiving some anything. The other one had a small portion compared to this lady's daughter. So how do we strike a balance to make sure? I don't know whether this is like that. But I would say that this when he allocated or maybe by the respect of the other one, this lady, she's the youngest. She's very young.
Yes.
As compared to the other one.
Correct.
That's how the fight was allocated, the higher portion of
it
the...
Yeah, it is likely that the age plays a factor, but also the fact of Yahorina, let's say, I don't know, the elders, maybe there's a maintenance order that is currently active and the payment was 3,000 rand, for example, per month versus the 10,000 rand. So those two are not going to be in the same plane, if that makes any sense. So So go and explain to the family, this is what you were told, this is how it's going to be done, and there's really nothing much they can do.
Because they wanted to go in as far as challenging the court.
Maybe you must also tell them something else, Fiso. Maybe you must tell, and there's something...
I do understand what you're saying in terms of you guys are
beyond all of that, there is another little fact you must tell them. Let us just say, there's a contestation and maybe they even succeed. Let us just say for whatever reason they succeed and this lady doesn't get anything. Neither will they. You see, you must make them see, Uri, that they want to contest what she's getting. It's not going to automatically go to them. No, that doesn't work like that. It doesn't go anywhere. that money will not be directed to them. Maybe they must understand that. It doesn't matter what happens. They are not going to benefit from that money. End of story.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
All right.
Because what I told them was that, you know what, in a way, you'll be wasting money.
Yep. Definitely.
And your money that's been allocated as the parent of the kids will end up being going to the legal
things
of the, you know what, whatever.
They do whatever and this lady gets denied the money, it doesn't go to them. That's not how it's going to work. They will lose anyway. They're not going to benefit from all of this anyway.
Yes.
Then the company is not allowed to defer that money to them. It's not. Okay, we've lost Fiso. But I think we got the point across.
Yes, we did.
I'll be saying see you next week.
Next week, definitely.
Quickly, where do people find you?
They can send us an email on info@dubazana.co.za or call us on 087-265-8010 or send us a WhatsApp on 079-654-7523.
You're doing the Lord's work. Thank you. Bye-bye. Guys, we'll be back tomorrow at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.